This is Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We have to find a way to turn those into wins. And that's the push that we have to have with our guys right now is when we're in those games and you expect them every night that we're playing, you have to find a way to do things the right way to allow us to get wins. So.
It's a Flames game day. You bet we've got that covered on this program today. I'm Peter Klein. That's Shan. In that room is Cam. Thank you all for joining us here on a Tuesday. Busy show today. We got Flames and the Blackhawks coming up. So we have that one covered from every angle. We'll get a view from the other side on the Blackhawks coming up at 2:30. We'll be hearing more from Coach Huska and some other members of the Calgary Flames in hour number two. Also getting ready for the Toronto Blue Jays season as we are on the eve of the eve of the start of the Major League Baseball campaign for 28 other teams in Major League Baseball, I believe none of which have gambling controversies, but we will talk about that as well as the show rolls on. Want a lot of help from you guys today. Send in your text at 960-960. We are hanging out in the DL Basement Systems downtown studio for Doug Lacey's Basement Systems. Wet basement? We have a lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They are all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. Shan, how's it going today, sir?
Peter, I'm good. I'm looking forward to this. There's a lot to talk about, and this Shohei Ohtani thing is one of the wildest stories that we've seen in a while, and I feel like it's not even getting talked about enough.
No, there's so many layers to this whole thing, right? Like there's if this, then this, and if not this, then really this. Like there's so many different ways to go. And it's so interesting because the whole offseason around this dude is about how secretive he is. And now a lot of his business potentially is just out there. Like, oh, he's secretive. We don't even know his dog's name. Oh, but also maybe he's got a gambling problem. Who's to say?
That's why it's bit. You're right. The mysteriousness of Shohei Ohtani is what's making this wild. And also the fact that the MLB, they really crack down on people. They don't give out 10, 20 game suspensions. You'll be done playing baseball if it's as bad as it could be, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to get into that. Also a look at the NHL playoff races as they are. Unfortunately that goes in the non-Flames portion.
There's a chance, though.
The broadcast. Yes, there's 0.1% chance. I don't believe that changed going into last night. I'll have to check on that. Seems like Shan's going to be looking. So, yeah, the playoff odds, I don't believe, have shifted all that much here in the last 24 hours. But, yeah, I do want to start with the Shohei Ohtani controversy. He spoke after the show wound down yesterday. And so here is that. Shohei Ohtani speaking to the media yesterday.
まずはじめに、僕自身は、何かにかけたりとか、誰かに代わって、そのスポーツイベントにかけたりとか、それをまた頼んだり、っていうことはないですし、僕の口座からブックメーカーに対して、誰かに送金を依頼したことももちろん全く、ありません。
So I never...
So there it is. No, I'm kidding. Here's the English portion of that.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
本当に数日前まで、彼が、そういうことをしていたっていうのも、全く知りませんでした。
Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening.
結論から言うと、彼が僕の、口座からお金を、盗んで、なおかつ、みんな僕の周りもそうですね、みんなに、嘘をついていたというのが、結論から言うとそういうことになります。
Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
So that is the Shohei Ohtani part. And now,that's kind of what we would have expected coming out of yesterday. I don't know if anyone thought he was going to go on there and say, like, yeah, my bad. Like, just go up to the podium. Pete Rose ain't got nothing on me. Like, I just didn't see that happening from Shohei Ohtani.
I didn't either. One of the most respectful people I think we've ever seen in sports, period.
Right. If he is guilty in any of this, then this is like just a massive driving the bus over a guy who has been a part of your life for a very long time. And so that would be a less than ideal thing to do to a human being. If you were getting hundreds of thousands to the point of millions of dollars stolen from you, I would probably be a little upset as well. So there's this whole thing, and like we talked about off the top, everything around this guy clouded in mystery, right? That's why, one of the reasons why, there was so much excitement, hullabaloo, whatever, going on around the free agency, right? That's why it wasn't just regular reporting. It was, we're tracking flights. Yusei Kikuchi has a sushi dinner for 50 people booked at a place. Now it's 49. Like, there was all of this around this guy because there isn't even a shred of information coming out of him. And now you have potentially, well, not potentially, that this guy is by leaps and bounds the biggest star in that sport, one of the biggest stars in all of sports, and he's involved in a big controversy. Like, this is a monster, monster thing to come out on the, like, couple days before the start of the baseball season.
I think what we saw this summer when he was, quote-unquote, choosing his team, having the meetings, whatever, is that the power of reporting and media and all of that, we're in a new era of that now, where we can track flights. We can do all this. We know, well, we thought we knew exactly where he was at all times. And that's why what we're seeing now, I'm shocked that people aren't taking this as serious. Some people, obviously, this is still a huge story. I think it's the biggest story in sports right now, North American sports, yeah, at least. And like, I have to think back to Pete Rose. I have to think back to that, where he never played again, right? Mm-hmm. It was just, I what I'm getting out of this from Shohei Ohtani is that I actually believe him.
Okay.
I don't believe that he was the one betting on sports. And you can look back to that game in South Korea when Ipe was in the dugout with him, and they were chatting it up. They were laughing. They didn't look like people that had issues with each other. And less than 12 hours later, even less than that, all of a sudden we find this out. And then Shohei Ohtani straight up says Ipe was stealing money from me and was telling lies.
Yeah.
That's why this whole story is crazy to me. And the Dodgers coming into this were the number one talked about team. Shohei Ohtani coming into this was the number one talked about player. This is going to be a cloud over the organization all year. It's going to be a cloud over Shohei's head all year. And if for some reason, I'm not expecting this, for some reason the greatest baseball player on the planet, maybe even the greatest athlete on the planet, is not performing well this year, this could be a talking point for all 162 games and however long this season is.
It's wild that he went out there in that second game with all this hanging over him and just like was launching baseballs again. Like, just, yeah, no, of course, whatever. Like, he does have a pretty exceptional way of just kind of drowning out all of the noise. But yeah, the story around Ipe is really interesting. Like, there was the thing that in some kind of press release or some kind of bio on him, he went, oh yeah, I went to UC Riverside, and that college has now come out and be like, well, we don't news to us. We didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it's so weird, all of this. And I don't know what to believe. I think, like, I'm not going to come on here and say he absolutely did it or he absolutely didn't do it. I think a lot of people making judgments about, like, what if someone took $4.5 million from you, you wouldn't notice. Like, I think I would probably get some kind of a text alert about it. But also, like, if I had, he's going to make $65 million in endorsements this year. If I made $65 million in endorsements, I don't even think I would have my bank app on my phone. Like, I'm never checking that again. I'm paying people who I trust to check that stuff. And if one of them happens to be skimming off the top a little bit, yeah, it's going to be tough for me to notice. And so I do think that putting real people perspectives into this, it does kind of cloud it, because we ain't that guy. And yeah. So, like, there's just, like I said, the layers to this are really fascinating. If it turns out he did something, like, yeah, Pete Rose still isn't in the Hall of Fame, made the crack on social media, like, which I had an interpreter,
yeah,
which is kind of funny. But for Shohei, he is such a major brand in Japan, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I was there in the early part of 2020 before, you know, all that happened. And, like, that this was before he took off, and there's still billboards everywhere of him in an Angels hat, and back in his playing days with Japan as well. And gambling is such a weird thing there. Like, they don't have casinos. They basically have arcade games that you play for money. Like, you can't just win in gambling based off of chance. There has to be some kind of a skilled thing there. So it's a really weird gray area. But this would be such a black eye for a guy who is so important to this sport in, I would say, the sport's, like, two of its top five biggest countries anyway. If this ends up that he is actually implicated as being the main source of this, that this is going to be, I think, a gigantic blow to baseball, to the Dodgers for sure, and just like the sport in general. Like, if its biggest star has something wrong with it, that's going to be a problem.
I firmly believe, and this is when he's pitching, I firmly believe that Shohei Ohtani is the best athlete on this planet, because what he does pitching, what he does with the bat, what we saw last year was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're right. And I think he's excelled that level of North American / Japanese superstar. I think he's a global superstar now, right? I mean, that's
100%.
Exactly. It's not a crazy thing to say, but
yeah,
this is not just something that we're talking about in North America and not just getting talked about in Japan. Like, everybody is talking about this. What I think has been made abundantly clear is that there was no betting on baseball.
Right.
I think that's the main thing. Like, sure, you know, whatever. If you think Shohei did it, if you think Ipe, whatever. That right now doesn't matter. Baseball was not being bet on. So that's the first level. That's the first hurdle you have to clear. And I believe we've cleared it. But yeah, with that being said, he is at this level where this doesn't just cloud the Dodgers, and it doesn't just cloud the MLB. This clouds sports, period.
Oh, yeah, 100%. No, and I was thinking about this the other day. If he had actually signed with the Blue Jays, I would be losing my mind right now. Like, really? We finally get the best player in sports, and this is happening. Of course this is happening. For the Dodgers, it's dropping the bucket, whatever. But I am happy you brought up, like, that he didn't gamble on his sport, because that would be a really, really rough thing. Which brings us to the other gambling story of the day. Jonte Porter with the Toronto Raptors has been, I guess, like, not officially suspended, but he's not around the team. We'll get to that in a second. Because of some suspicious betting trends. David Purdom from ESPN broke this down with our friends over in Toronto earlier today. Wait for it.
Well, it was unusual enough to set off some flags with bookmakers. You got a lower profile player, not a lot of betting interest on him on a game-to-game basis. All of a sudden, you start seeing this surge of interest on betting on his unders on random games. The first game happened in January against the Clippers. He played just a few minutes in that game before leaving with what was kind of described as a lingering eye injury that he had suffered before. Before that game, there had been a rush of money on under his points, his rebounds, assists, etc. Bookmakers noticed it then, kind of kept an eye on it. Then just last week on Thursday against the Kings, a similar situation started. One sportsbook told us they had accounts start trying to bet tens and 20 thousands of dollars on a prop bet. Typically limits on those are $1,000 to $2,000. So when that happened, again, on a lower profile player, it kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. And of course, then he leaves within about 5 to 10 minutes of action, citing the flu in that game. So lots of suspicious activity around it.
So first of all, they have to be some of the dumbest criminals of all time, because that is, oh yeah, no one's going to notice $20,000 in prop bets on a guy who I, as an NBA observer, couldn't even name. So yeah, no problems here. It is so, that part is so sketchy, and how all that went down. And now apparently, the Raptors don't really have an idea of where this cat's actually at right now.
Well, where is Jonte now?
I do not know.
Where is awesome. Jonte now? I don't know. This is such a weird story, and this is, and I'll get to why it's frustrating from a gambling perspective here in a second, but this is like the exact thing people were worried about when gambling really infiltrated the sports landscape, is that you would have a lot of this type of a thing happening. This is just dumb, for one. Like, so many red flags immediately, and so many things where you'd be like, all right, how can we make this as obvious as possible that we're doing a crime? Okay, well, we're going to bet on a guy that no one's heard of. He's going to come up with a lingering eye injury, which I don't think is actually a thing. and we're going to continue to do it in sums of money that if we betted on LeBron would get us looked at. But we're going to do it on this guy. Like, just how to get caught 101 is 100% this story.
First of all, this completely encapsulates the Raptors' season so far. It's been a disaster. Think about Jontae Porter. Now, let's say hypothetically this is all true, which I kind of believe it is. He was turning out to be a promising player. Like, you know, he's a big body. He's got some skill, and he actually have had a few games where he looked like a pretty solid player. With that being said, Jontae Porter, he did bet a lot of money on himself. These are the reports that are coming out. And he did have an eye injury. He had one early on in the season. I don't know how you have a lingering eye injury. I'm not an eye doctor. I'm not an expert, whatever. So that's suspicious enough. And you can see it. Like, he started the season super well and then keeps getting all these injuries and like the flu and whatever and leaving after 5 minutes. I mean, no one actually looked into this and saw and thought, oh, geez, this is suspicious. But as someone who watches the team, you're like, man, what happened to Jontae Porter?
Yeah.
It was weird. Now, kids, first of all, if you are betting on your own games, I don't recommend that. Two, don't say it's a lingering eye injury. Like, land on your ankle or something so that it looks like...
Yeah, on a dude.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like, exactly. Just, oh, man, rolled my ankle. There we go.
But, I mean, you're right. Like, you talk about having, you know, betting infiltrate the sport now. Look back to what happened to Shane Pinto. They had a betting ad on their helmets. The Senators did.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the problem with this coming into sports. And first of all, another thing about Jontae Porter is that he has made videos. He's been very open about crypto trading and all of this. So, like,
yeah,
you know, it's not like this came completely out of nowhere.
Right. No, exactly. I'm happy you brought up the ads thing. And because this was always my thought coming in. And I'm being a little bit stubborn on it because I'm kind of wrong. But my thing was always like, well, how can we allow sports gambling to be legal? Think of all the scandals that are going to come up. And like, look, we don't have to go into exactly how I know this, but you've been able to gamble on the internet on sports for about 20 years. Like, since the internet was a thing, one of the like top three things they figured out was, and how can we bet on sports? It's been around for a really, really long time. And so my thought always when all of this was coming on, like, well, they could be throwing these games and doing it for money. Like, yeah, they could have been for the last very long time. You didn't just have to go to Las Vegas, Nevada, or Atlantic City to put any type of money down on any of these things.
Yeah.
You've been able to do it for a really, really, really long time. And they were, like, just surface level, I don't even want to say hiding it, but, like, at the very most, or at the very least, slightly covering it up, but not really. Like, everyone knew you could go to various sites on the internet and not even lie about where you are or anything like that, and you're going to be able to gamble. The thing that I don't get about these is because of that, because you've been able to do this for a while, why are you waiting for it? Like, why was your barrier of entry for these things the legality of gambling? Like, why? Well, I couldn't possibly illegally gamble when it's illegal to gamble. I need gambling to be legal before I start illegally gambling. It's just the dumbest thing. And I do think, like, if we want to really stretch this, I do think that because there has been this infiltration, like you said, there's gambling ads, there's all of these different things, there's sponsors on every freaking thing everywhere. But because of that, I do think there is a lot more scrutiny on this now, and teams have a lot more rules on these things now. And so because of that, these types of things get a closer look at them. And so I do think that because there is all of this, there is a little bit more regulation on it, and that allows, quite frankly, dummies like this to get caught. It's so wild to me. Like, you've been able to place bets for forever. But now, well, no, I'm not going to skirt around the system like that. Oh, it's legal. Well, now I'll be illegal with it.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
It is dumb. But the crazy thing is that we're seeing this happen every year in multiple different sports. Look back at Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the most promising wide receivers in the sport when he came into the league, and he bet on his games. And yes, he's back in the league now. And which, first of all, this is a big difference between the NFL and the MLB. If he was an MLB player, he'd be done, period.
Yeah.
So there's one of the differences. But yeah, players are doing this. Jontae Porter is the most recent one to get caught. It's crazy that we have this and Shohei Ohtani at the same time.
Yeah.
But it happens in multiple different sports. And you're right, it's idiotic. It is. And I, yes, betting is legal, and it's almost legal across North. Well, it's legal across Canada, and then in most states in the USA now. And people still try and get around it, and it makes zero sense to me, especially when you are in a professional league where you're getting paid a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the reported bet slip that I can't tell you if it's true or not was that it was $80,000 on a Jonte Porter parlay to win $1.2 million. That guy can make that in the NBA.
Right.
He can.
Not now.
No.
And that's the thing. Like, because he's him and he's not the most marquee guy, it's going to be real easy to make an example out of this guy.
100%.
Right? Like, they can, like, every book they have, they are going to throw at him. The one other thing I will say about this whole thing, because one of the things that gets brought up is, like, all of these players, like you said, like, there's the Pinto, I think it was Betway. The Pinto Betway thing is hilarious. That, like, he gets suspended and he's playing and there's gambling ads on his helmet and everywhere. It's hilarious. The one thing I will say, it's not just because, like, all of these ads are happening and the NHL is making all this money off of these guys and making all this money off of the sponsorship, so these guys should be able to gamble now. It's not that. It's that these teams and these leagues have rules against it, right? And so it doesn't matter where the sponsorship dollars are coming from. You still have to follow team and league policy. Like, here, I personally think it's absurd that I can't swear every now and then. Not egregiously, couple words for sure, and the way you use them, 100%. But the odd every now and then, I mean, come on, I think that's absurd. I am talking currently on Sportsnet. One of the things that gets advertised on Sportsnet TV is you can watch HBO shows on a certain streaming platform, and they swear all the time. That doesn't mean I then get to call anyone a dumb S every now and then. Just because the company that I am working for is making money off of a thing that I think I should be able to do doesn't mean I get to do it. So, yes, it is a wild amount of hypocrisy. It seems like these NHL players, these MLB players, these NBA players, these NFL players, a lot of NFL players are getting suspended for doing a thing that the NHL is profiting off of. But them's the rules, my guys. Like, there's no other way to say it. Company rules or company rules. Don't matter where the money's coming from. You still have to follow the rules of engagement. And one of them is, in the NFL, you can't bet while you're on a team facility. Doesn't matter if you're betting on table tennis in Indonesia. You can't be betting on anything while you are on a team facility. You certainly can't be faking an eye injury so that you go under a point and a half. But, like, these are just the rules. It doesn't matter who's sponsoring you.
And this is something that stands out to me a little bit. We see it happen mostly in the NBA and the NFL. Those are, I guess, MLB. No, MLB, it doesn't really happen all that often. But NBA and NFL, and when I look at the NBA, a lot of these players are one-and-done players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to call these guys idiots. I'm not trying to call them anything like that, but these are players that, like, university does not matter to them. They have to go for 1 year, and then you make it to the NBA. The top-end players.
Yeah.
You don't, and then you go straight from high school to university to the NBA in a span of 2 or 3 years. That is crazy. It's crazy to even think about for me. Because these people are my age now, right? Like,
yeah.
They're just getting to the end. They don't have the right representation. They don't have the right knowledge on how to live like this, how to deal with money like this. It's a big problem as to why it's happening. And, you know, there's a lot, like there needs to be more done for these players. There clearly needs to be better plans for these guys coming into the NBA, the NFL, whatever league it is, because this can't keep happening. It can't, or else you're going to start to see some serious, serious repercussions, not just for the players, but for the leagues at this point.
Yeah. Well, we've seen it. Money management has been a problem in sports for a long time, right?
Like, for
sure. The 30 for 30 documentary Broke shows that 100%, right? Like, yeah. It's always been a problem. And this is just another way, but it's tantalizing because maybe if you just did a thing or two and then go, ow, my eye, then you can make, like you say, turn $80,000 into $1.2 million or whatever it is. And that, like, it gets you down a slippery slope. And that is why, like, when we're talking about different gambling things and stuff, like, there is that there is obviously like a big problem for a lot of people with this. And that's why comments like what Reese Davis made about like risk-free investment on that one gambling segment the other day, it's like we can joke about it. And I'm sure I've made jokes like that before. You could probably go back. It probably wouldn't be hard to find them. I would like to think I'm a bit smarter now. But like you can find different ways of saying those things, but also you can find a lot of people who are really affected by this stuff. A couple of texts at 960-960 talking about the Japan gambling thing. Someone saying pachinko is the favorite arcade type game that many Japanese play for money, slot type, and some are addicted. Yeah, the difference between that and a regular slot machine, pachinko is like, it is, again, very loose skirting of the rules, but they have to be at least somewhat a game of skill. And so it is technically pinball, like in a slot machine type of a format, but you have to at least like hit a thing every now and then. So there is the slightest bit of skill involved. So that is why. And Matt and Cochran, always great with the one-liners here. When you bet on yourself, literally, instead of metaphorically. Yeah, the Fred Van Vliet bet on yourself. The shirts are going to look a little bit different when they have in brackets, figuratively, before each one. All right, we are way over time. So time for us to take a break. Ooh, I didn't even get to all the hockey stuff we wanted to get to. So we will touch on the NHL playoff races in a little bit. Also, we'll get to the Toronto Blue Jays and why I'm holding on to a sliver of optimism around this Blue Jays team. That's around the corner here on Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Segment 2, Hour 1, Sportsnet Today. I'm Peter Klein. You can find me on social media at Primetime Klein. Also, I didn't plug my podcast once yesterday, so I'm going to be insufferable today.
Do it.
You can find me at a podcast called Couch Potato Diary. I do it a lot. So check it out wherever you get your fine podcast. If you're listening on this on podcast, it's the same spot. Okay. Still a lot to get to here. I had a lot planned for segment 1, and I just yelled about gambling for a while. So we can pivot all of that here into segment 2. And I'm going to do stereotypical sports guy radio thing here right now. You know, Shan, yeah. I don't think we're talking enough about the LA Kings. But I don't think we're talking enough about the LA Kings, right? Like, they have won 4 in a row. Their last 2 have come against Tampa Bay and Vancouver. The game against the Canucks last night, they keep the Canucks from clinching a playoff spot. They have the 3rd fewest goals allowed in the National Hockey League. Quinton Byfield has turned into a 20-goal scorer. I'm presuming he has 19 right now, but I feel like I can project he's going to get one. I think Kevin Fiala is one of the more underrated players in the league. Pierre-Luc Dubois has been bad, but he is their third-line center. The goalies, but the team defensively is insane in front of them. You have Deneau, who's an excellent two-way center, and Andre Kopitar. This feels like you are very stereotypical, don't want to play them in the first round team. And they are, it's just sports stereotype after sports stereotype. We're not talking enough about them. Don't want to play them in the first round. And Shan, peaking at the right time.
Oh, yeah.
How dangerous are the LA Kings right now?
I have always liked the LA Kings. Well, talking about this year. I agree with you.
No, forever and always.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Ziggy Palfy.
When you look at...
I didn't play that. Whatever. Anyway,
Ziggy go on. Palfy. I don't know who that is.
Oh, I hate you so much.
I'm
anyway,
so sorry.
Keep going.
Down the middle, the Kings are stacked. And yes, a lot of this has been shadowed by the Dubois contract and his play. I mean, he's got 35 points in 71 games, and he's a dash 13 on a team that has... Like, their start to the season was ridiculous. Goaltending is... That is a concern. I totally get that.
Yeah.
I can hear you if you say the Kings won't do anything in the playoffs because they don't have strong goaltending. Cam Talbot has proved that he can be a good goaltender. David Riddick's had some good games for them. Like, Phoenix Copley has been a disaster since they picked him up. It's whatever. This team up front is ridiculous. And yeah. they've got some solid defensemen too. Doughty is playing some of his best hockey, which is crazy to say. But I like them and Nashville are those two teams that are that could sneak in and, well, I think they will make it and be those teams that you don't want to play in the first round. Vegas is the clear, obvious favorite. Oh my goodness, they're going to be a wild card team and I have to play them in the first round. Are you kidding me? That's different. Yeah. That's different, though. The Kings team, they are solid. And I firmly believe that they built this team with the belief that we're going to have to take down the Oilers to get there. I honestly think so because, well, they lost to them twice. And they've had the center depth, but like now you've got Kopitar, Deneau, who's one of the best shutdown centers in the league. You've got Trevor Lewis on the fourth line, which he's having a great season. He's got 14 points. He's a plus 471. For a fourth liner, he's having a solid season.
Yeah.
Dubois, third line, like up up the middle, they are ridiculous. And if Dubois finds his way, which he's shown flashes of it, I agree. They're a hard beat in the first round, and I honestly think they are matched up to play the Oilers. Like
oh yeah, that seems like it's the matchup now.
And that's how they built this team.
Yeah.
So I really would like to see another Oilers Kings matchup, and if the Oilers take them down, you know, three times in four seasons, maybe it's time to move on from some people. But like, yeah, this Dubois has a no move kicking in next year. It's ugly. But yeah, I agree. This team has the potential to spoil.
First off, I was right. Ziggy Pelfi did play for the Kings. I should never doubt myself. B, that's what he looks like. If you want to just kind of
hang on, let me check. That's good radio.
Take a look at just basking that.
Oh,
mullet.
Oh my goodness, what a mullet!
Basking that mullet for a second.
That's amazing.
But no, you're right. Like this team, whether it's for the Oilers, whoever, this team is built for playoff hockey. And yeah, like a Riddick Talbot combination in 2024. It would seem weird if they were the ones who were penciled on the Stanley Cup when this whole thing is done. But this team is fourth in the NHL in fewest shots allowed per game, 28.3. Only the Panthers, Flyers, and Hurricanes are better than them. And yeah, like they... Now, it's not as locked in as I thought for them taking on Edmonton in the first round. The Kings have a two-point edge on the Vegas Golden Knights for that third spot in the Pacifics. But either way, the Canadian teams could be getting familiar with them because it could either be the Canucks or the Oilers playing them in the first round. And yeah, like it's just 1 through 3, especially this center group is ridiculous. It's not known as a high scoring team, but like I said, like Byfield has figured something out. Fiala is always dangerous. Pierre-Luc Dubois could get some stuff. And Victor Arvidsson scores the exact type of goals you need to score in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And he's only been here for 7 games. Like he missed almost the entire season.
Yeah. And you have Deneau, who has been a shutdown guy in the playoffs before that helped get the Montreal Canadiens to the Stanley Cup final. So this team is really built so well for the playoffs. And they had their stretch in the middle of the season, got the coach fired. And so I kind of just like forgot about them, you know, like, well, whatever. There's so many good teams in the West right now. But I do believe that this is a legitimate threat to at least win a round or two. And if they are doing that, then they are absolutely ruining someone's season, whether it be Edmonton, Colorado, or Vancouver. Like that is, if they end up being a wild card team, even if you beat them, you are feeling the effects of that in round two and however much further you go along.
With this Kings team, now looking at some of their matchups, if they play Colorado, I think it's over. Like Colorado is too good. I firmly believe that they're one of the number one leading cup contenders in the West.
Yeah.
I think they're
talking about peaking at the right time, too.
Exactly. And McKinnon is like out of his mind. It's fun to watch, whatever. They play the Oilers, they have a chance.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a great chance. Okay, the Oilers look pretty good. I know it hurts to hear it, it hurts to say it, whatever. The Canucks are another team. Like Canucks, I'm not saying they're defensively irresponsible. I don't think they are at all. They outscore teams. That's how they beat teams.
Yeah.
Like they have so much top end talent, they outscore teams. The Kings could find a way to shut them down. So, you know, just wrapping up with that, they could play spoiler. It just depends on the matchup. If they somehow get Vegas, which I don't even think is possible, that's not looking good. If they get Colorado, it's ugly. But I think that they're looking for Canucks / Oilers first round matchup, and I'm giving them a chance.
Yeah, they could get Edmonton if Edmonton falls and the Kings and Knights both leapfrog Edmonton, dropping the Oilers into a wild card spot, which would then be Edmonton against Vancouver in the first round, which, oh my God.
Yeah.
The West is stacked this year, right? Like, you look at it right now, all due respect to the run that Nashville has been on, I do not consider the Nashville Predators a cup contender.
No,
I agree. That would be a result that would legitimately surprise me. And as much as I'm big upping the Kings right now, if they won the Stanley Cup, I would be like, oh, wow, that this is a surprise. Like, I'm talking about this team to be a problem in the first round, and if they win the first round, to be a real problem in the second round, but that's probably about as far as it goes. After that, Vegas could win the Cup? Like, yes. Edmonton, 100%. I know we don't like to hear it, but they have the best player in the world, yeah. So you have a chance. Vancouver, they have the scoring talent, and they have a guy who could just be the best goalie in the world when he's on fire.
Yep.
Winnipeg, kind of ditto. They have the scoring talent, and Hellebuck could be the best goalie in the world. Hasn't been lately, but could be. Dallas Stars, just complete team, right? And as you said, Colorado is absurd.
One thing, sorry, I'd like to say about Dallas, we saw the best goalie performance, at least it was the best goalie performance I've ever seen in Jake Ottinger against the Flames in 2022.
Yeah.
He is not having a great season. He's sub 900. So, yes, complete team. I agree. And Jake Ottinger in the playoffs, we've already seen it. If Ottinger figures it out, they are true 100% cup contender. But if he doesn't and he's shaky, I can't say that they are a 100% cup contender.
Yeah. No, like that there's some things would have to go right, for sure. But like if the Stanley Cup playoffs end with the Dallas Stars hoisting the Stanley Cup, I won't be, oh my heavens, like that will be,
no,
that will be a result that I would deem to be something you could believe, even out east. I don't, we'll get into the East playoff race here in a second. I don't think Washington or Detroit's winning it. No. But could Tampa Bay win it? Of course they could. They're them. Philadelphia, probably not. Carolina, 100% could win it. Rangers, totally. Even the Leafs, I think, given the high-end talent, they 100% at least could. Not saying they will, but could. Boston, totally. Florida, totally. They're in the 16-team playoff that we have. There's like three that you scratch off immediately. Like, yeah, probably not. This is going to be an electric Stanley Cup playoff, and there are going to be so many wildly disappointed teams, even just after round one.
I believe this is going to be my favorite Stanley Cup playoffs that I've seen in my lifetime because of...
Well, yeah, you've seen like five, but yeah.
Yeah. There were so many teams that fully believed that they're contenders, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
They made big moves at the deadline. Like, big moves at the deadline. So, like, you know, we talked about the West a whole lot. Winnipeg is shaky to me. And they've played like... I mean, they've lost three in a row, but they just don't look like the same Winnipeg that we saw to start the year. And I think they have the talent to be a playoff team, and they have the experience. Like, they've got a couple young guys that step up. Sure. They've got veterans on that team. Anyways, looking at the East, like, there will be teams that'll be super disappointed. The Maple Leafs might have to play the Panthers or the Bruins in the first round. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to play either of the two.
No.
Because like you mentioned, both of those teams could win the Stanley Cup. I'd be like, yep, that checks out.
Yeah.
Washington could make the playoffs with the lowest goal differential. They're a minus 27 goal differential. They might sneak into the playoffs. Ooh. So the bottom of the Eastern Conference, I don't even see them having a chance. I don't see Washington having a chance. I don't see Philadelphia having a chance either.
No, but then after that, like, all of them could win.
Yeah.
And, like, I think Boston, given how the season has gone, would be disappointed if they didn't win. Same with Florida, same with Toronto, same with the Rangers. And, like, a lot of the teams in the West, Colorado, Vancouver, Edmonton, Vegas, would all be wildly disappointed if they didn't win the Stanley Cup. And a bunch of them, just based on math, aren't even going to make it to the second round.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be so much
fun. There are so many teams that, when you watch the playoffs, it as dumb as it sounds, and I know that every team's goal is to win the Stanley Cup, but you win a couple rounds, and some teams' fan bases will say, you know what, successful playoffs.
Yeah.
No one is saying that, except for the two teams at the bottom of the East, and maybe one team in the West.
Yeah, Preds and Kings probably in the West.
So
that's it.
For a lot of teams, this year is, it's hard to say cup or bust, but like, Carolina went full. They went right after Gensel. That's the biggest, you know, the biggest target. They got him.
That's paid off.
We saw what Vegas did. I mean,
yes.
we know they do this, whatever. But these teams have made big moves. And you're right, for them to lose the cup, that's a lost season for them.
Yeah.
And that is wild to say. So I'm really excited. We're going to see if the Flames can make it with the 0.1% chance they have. But it's not likely. So, like, for someone who is hoping to watch Calgary in the playoffs and probably won't get that, I'm still super excited to see the hockey that we're about to see.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And the last team in the East is still left to be decided, as the Washington Capitals have a lead, on the Detroit Red Wings entering play today. And wouldn't you know it, those two teams play each other tonight.
Love it.
Washington is an incredible story. Sellers at the deadline, Edmondson gone, Kuznetsov gone, Backstrom left earlier in the season and just isn't coming back. It is Ovechkin and a bunch of dudes you've never heard of, and somehow this team is in a playoff spot right now, 7-3 in their last 10, leapfrogging Detroit, who is the exact opposite. They had an amazing start to the season. DeBrincat was scoring 1,000 goals a game. They add Patrick Kane. Every underlying stat in the world told you that this was going to be a bubble that burst at some point, and apparently regression is just smacking them all over the place right now. But they are still within a point with 11 games to go. If you had to pick a favorite to get there right now, Washington does have the lead in a game in hand. Who are you picking between Washington and Detroit?
Okay, well, this is because on this show, like 2 weeks ago, I said to Logan, I was like, Washington's going to make the playoffs.
Oh.
However, it's hard to say that Detroit won't make it over Washington. Now, you know, they're playing tonight. It's a huge game, and Washington has a game in hand. Detroit's a better team, period. Like, Ovechkin is dragging this team there. He scored more goals than games played in the last, I think it's like 8 games or something.
Yeah.
So he's doing a lot of this himself, and he's done that for many years. But this Detroit team, I think, is too talented to not make it. And they were without Dylan Larkin for a while. He's back now. But they're 3-7 in their last 10.
Yeah.
So it's a team that's falling apart, and it's kind of hilarious that they started to fall apart when the jersey patch, it was a garbage company. So they put a garbage company on the beautiful original six jerseys, and all of a sudden they start losing. Whatever. This Detroit team is better than the Capitals, and if they don't make it over Washington, it's a disaster. I think we can count the Devils out at this point, which is crazy to say, and the Islanders are still lurking. They're 4 points behind the Capitals, but I think Detroit is the favorite to make it.
I am begging Washington and Detroit. Don't let the Islanders in.
No, please.
I can't watch an Islanders playoff series. Now, I just spent 10 minutes celebrating the LA Kings, who played a 1-3-1 last night. But, like, don't let the... And, look, I like pieces on the Islanders. I like Horvat. I like Barzal. I kind of like Palmieri. Like, there are pieces on the team that I like, but don't. I don't.
And Patrick Waugh's coaching now. But it was fun to watch the Islanders in the playoffs because they gave the Lightning a run for their money a couple times.
Yeah.
And now I'm sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
Please. It hurts to watch.
Although Islanders-Rangers would be kind of fun in the first round. But
I guess.
It would also be over in 4.
Yeah,
so
I think it would maybe 5.
Yeah. Just quickly, the Columbus Blue Jackets eliminated from the playoffs last night. That's a common theme. They've been eliminated 18 of the last 24 seasons, which is all of their existence.
Yeah.
I understand people thought it was a little bit like skipping the line, allowing Vegas and Seattle to have the access in the expansion drafts that they did. This is why. Not saying that the expansion draft 24 years ago is why the Blue Jackets suck now, but that is a really deep hole to climb out of when you just have to suck for a while and try to work your way out of it. And for Columbus, like, they've tried a bunch of different things and have failed. I don't think it's a blank slate there for the new GM, whoever comes in, but this has just been a horribly run franchise for a really long time.
Yeah, I mean, the one guy that they had was Rick Nash. Like, that's it. And they had Bobrovsky.
Yep.
That's it. Like, I mean, you know, they had Panarin for a year or two, and yeah, they won that playoff series against the Lightning. That's literally all they've done. We were talking about that off air, about how many series they won. It's that, and it's the qualifying round against the Maple Leafs in the COVID, the bubble.
Yeah.
You're right. It's a poorly run franchise, and they've got some young, promising players. Like, Kent Johnson has a lot of potential, but he was in the AHL for a while.
They've screwed that up this year.
Yeah.
There was another one you were mentioning before.
Yeah, David Juracek is their future defenseman, and yeah, he's played a lot in the NHL. They have angered him because they keep sending him down to the A and back up, and when they send him down to the AHL, there's been multiple times this season where it's been too late. They held him for too long, and he couldn't get to I forget their AHL. I'm blanking right now, but he couldn't get there in time, and then he would go without hockey for 4 days because he would miss the game. It happened less than a week ago where the plane didn't get off on time, and then he missed the game by like 30 minutes. And they've made him angry. Like, the agent is angry. He's angry. That's not what you want to do for your future defenseman, because that guy has a lot of potential.
Yeah. No, and they have pieces like that, but it has been horribly mismanaged. All right. My segment-long Blue Jays preview is now down to 4 minutes. So we'll just cut to the chase. I know we talked about, like, gambling's bad in the first segment, but Blue Jays over under is at 86.5. Over or under for wins?
The AL East is so stacked. The Yankees, I'm gonna say, oh my gosh, I'm gonna say under.
I'm going over.
Yeah,
I think that Vladdy, I don't think he's gonna be 2021 Vladdy, but I do think that he kind of elevates his game from being basically like slightly above average hitter last season. Bo Bichette is just awesome. I do think we get a bit of a bounce back from Alejandro Kirk this season as well. And I think Justin Turner in the middle of that lineup actually helps out quite a bit. I know, like, the professional hitter is a cliche and RBI guy is something from 30 years ago in baseball, but Justin Turner is such a smart hitter with runners on base. And even without them, he's very smart as well. He doesn't just all of a sudden wake up when there's guys there, but he has such an understanding of the art of hitting in baseball. And that's something the Blue Jays lacked last year.
It was so bad last year.
Like, the offense in general sucked, but the ability to get add-on runs and stuff like that. I think Turner will help that out immensely. And I think that's going to offset, like, there's no way they stay as healthy pitching wise. We've already seen it. Manoah's hurt. Romano's hurt. Swanson's hurt. Gausman was hurt and is now unhittable. But I do think that pitching depth wise, they're better this year. Another year of Francis. I feel comfortable with him starting games for this team.
Yeah.
If Mitch White could find the strike zone, his stuff is actually electric. And I think Ricky Tiedemann starts games this year. So I do think that there is, I think there are reasons for optimism, but you hate this team. So tell me why.
I hate this team. No, listen, the pitching, there's no, I have zero questions about it. If Alek Manoah somehow figures it out too, like it's one of the best rotations. It's one of the best, benches, bullpen, in the league. Like they have incredible pitching. This is an interesting year because the last two seasons, the Blue Jays came into this and everyone's like, oh, they could be a favorite. They could totally win it all. And very underwhelming seasons. I agree. Vladdy, I think he'll have a bounce back. He looks like he's in good shape.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to say. We don't know what's going to happen. But there were a lot of people that regressed last year and from an offense standpoint. And if you told me, you said, Shan, the Blue Jays left 40,000 runners on base last year, I would think about it. I would actually think about
that
it.
Seems low.
It was crazy. Like, there were multiple times, bases loaded, two men on, and grounded to a double play. It happened 1,000 times with Vladdy last year. And having a guy like Justin Turner, he's a veteran. I know he's getting up there. I know he's end of his career. But having him, we'll see what Daniel Vogelbach brings. And we'll see if Joey Votto finds a way to crack the roster. But those are three left-handed bats that can give you some serious power and some RBIs. And this is a mysterious season for me. I'm excited that it's, you know, it's almost time. Thursday is opening day, and it's interesting, but this Jays team is a mess.
I also think that given how hard they went after Shohei, not that there's $700 million in payroll they have access to, but I do think that given how you'd only have to pay for about half of a season if you went out and traded for someone at the deadline, I think they'll be very aggressive come trade deadline time. Yeah. So we'll see what all happens coming up on Thursday. You see him on Flames broadcasts and read him on sportsnet.ca. Eric Francis goes solo every Friday at 5 for Flames Talk, the Eric Francis Hour. Eric isn't afraid to ask the tough questions to get the information Flames fans want. This is a must-listen for every Flames fan, and it's brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The Alberta horse racing and breeding industry has an $83 million positive economic impact in Calgary annually. Visit thehorses.com. 18+. Please play responsibly. All right. A lot of Flames talk coming up in hour number two. We're doing lines discussion coming up next as we talk about a few new Flames being entered into the lineup. And I have a question about why one line sticks together. The next hour, basically all Flames and Blackhawks here on Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.